and commanded him to carry that cross. Now, the Roman gibbet was in many shapes and forms, and there's always some question on exactly what shape it was. Some say it was a heavy piece of lumber with a crossbar high up where the sign that was posted above the head of the victim. Others say that that crossbar was for the feet. However, it certainly made it an ugly, awkward thing to carry. And this carrying of the cross out through the street was a very difficult manner.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. And today we come back to Simon of Cyrene carrying the cross of our Lord Jesus. And indeed, we're all called to be cross bearers. And I hope that you will give your life to bear the cross of Christ, to bear whatever reproach, that you may be a witness for him. Stay tuned as we come to that message in a moment. We have the hymn, Keep Me Near the Cross. And also we have this substitutionary atonement. Well, that's really the core central truth of the gospel. Christ died for us. He died in our place. God the Father hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that means the whole lot, or the whole flock of sheep. And notice that Isaiah 53 verse 6 begins with, all we like sheep have gone astray. And then it says that the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The all is us all and everyone for whom the Lord died. God has laid the iniquity of each one upon the Lord Jesus. And here is the victory of the atoning work of our Redeemer. Now let me ask you a question. Was it possible that the Lord could die as a substitute for sinners and no one be set free from sin? Question then is, did God really punish his son? Did he really lay upon him a punishment for our sin? Well, the answer is yes. Then there must be more than the possibility of guilt transferred to Christ. That was real guilt laid on him. Now, what if the judge allowed the payment, but the judge refuses to extend the pardon, even though the debt is paid in full, then that judge is unjust. And likewise, in God's courtroom, when God punished his own son and laid our iniquity upon him, then the sinner must go free. The pardon must be announced. And so you can see that the judge of all the earth, who must do right, when he accepts the payment of his son for salvation, must grant the pardon Christ bought with his own blood on the cross. The death of Christ was a real transaction. It was real punishment and real payment for sin. And I trust that today that you will stay tuned as we get to the message of the gospel, that you may learn more of what it means to be a Christian, that your sins are pardoned and you are set free. Stay tuned as we come to the message and song, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand, just beyond.
Yeah.
shall find rest beyond the river.
Is it not true that you and I at some point were compelled to become cross bearers, to take up the cross of the Lord Jesus? We felt the load of our sin. We understood that we were lost sinners and we needed that cross. The only way to heaven, the only way of mercy, was the way of the cross. And we felt compelled. We were drawn to take up that very cross of the Lord Jesus. And that is what makes every man a Christian. You're not a Christian until you are a cross bearer, until you are identified with, and that you plead the very work of the Lord's death and blood and suffering at Calvary. Now, this cross bearing also led Simon all the way to Calvary. And that day, he was commanded to walk in the very footsteps of the Lord Jesus. And it says in Luke's gospel, they led him away. They led upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they led the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And so he was literally, absolutely, truly, in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. Now, never mind the weight of the lumber. Never mind the shrieks and cries of the crowd that were angry, swarming around them. Every step that Simon took was a step on the way right to Calvary. He witnessed and he saw it all. I can't imagine that when Simon got to the top of the hill, where the soldiers were all gathered, ready to nail our Lord to the Roman cross that he'd carried, that he just went up and ran off. I don't imagine that for a moment. I think the very fact that he was compelled into this, that he stayed there and he watched our Savior suffer and die. This Simon heard the blows of the hammer driving the nails of our Lord into the cross. This Simon saw with his own eyes those soldiers raise that Roman gibbet into the air. They saw the bloody form of the Son of God, and Simon watched it too, awestruck, and he had been a partner in it with Jesus. You know, this is what the gospel does. This is what the gospel does to every Christian. It leads us right to Calvary, and we see for ourselves, we have it impressed on our minds, the suffering, bleeding, dying agony of the Son of God. And we ask, why? For my sin. Get it? For my sin. I broke the law of God. I broke the commandments of God. I incurred the anger of God against my sin. But Jesus, in his love as my Savior, took my place and went to that cross. And there he suffered and died and endured it all for me. And you know what? It led Simon to personal faith in the Lord Jesus. Now you say, preacher, where do you get that? Because this is one of the problems in preaching on Simon of Cyrene, because you only get one verse in each of the Gospels. But if we do a little bit of comparing, we discover a few things, that this Simon of Cyrene had two sons, Alexander and Rufus. And by the time that Mark wrote this Gospel account, which was a little bit later than the other synoptic Gospels, these two sons, Alexander and Rufus, now, no doubt, much later in life, they are known. Just the way that Mark puts it in Mark 15. Alexander and Rufus, they're known. And Paul the Apostle, when he was writing to the church at Rome in chapter 16, the book of Romans, he refers to Rufus. And he refers to Rufus' mother. Paul refers to her as his mother and mine. She was a believer. Simon, the one who bore the cross, is not mentioned. He may have died by that time. But there is every reason to expect that here was a family changed forever, made Christians, because that day Simon of Cyrene was chosen, compelled to carry the cross. And I can hear Alexander and Rufus telling the story. Our dad carried that cross for Jesus. It became an honor. And what had started out in Simon's mind that day as the worst day to be compelled to carry the cross to the little Mount Golgotha for Jesus, it became the best day in his life. And I want to tell you today that the best thing that can happen to you is to become a cross bearer, to take up the cross of the Lord Jesus, because you will be changed and you will be saved. You will be a Christian. You will be for heaven. What else can you do with your life? And here is the power of the cross to change men. The greatest thing that can happen to you today is to become a cross bearer for the Lord Jesus. Whatever else you're doing with your life, you must be a cross bearer that you might be saved, ready for heaven. So that's what bearing the cross, Simon's bearing the cross, did for Jesus. It's what it did for Simon. But what can cross bearing do for us? You might ask, how can I, in real terms, take up the cross and bear that cross for my Lord Jesus? Well, firstly, by becoming a Christian. You can't be a cross bearer if you don't become a Christian. You must look to that cross and see that there Jesus died for you and say, that's the cross I need. That's the way of peace with God that I need through the very blood of the Lord Jesus. And you today, by faith, must go all the way to Calvary. You see, whatever religion you have, whatever church attachment, involvement you have, if it doesn't lead you, now listen to me, hear this, if you don't get anything else, you must hear this. If what you have today by religion doesn't lead you all the way to Calvary, you'll lose your soul. You'll never be in heaven. Because the only way to heaven is the way of the cross, the way of redemption by the blood. And you say, I need that cross to be saved. Whatever scandal it brings to your life, whatever cost it involves, whatever price, I must have that cross in my life that I might be saved. And you stand there and you say, you hear the words of the Lord Jesus, this have I done for you, what have you done for me? There always comes a call from the cross. There always comes a crisis from the cross. There always comes a compulsion that you might become a Christian. And then also by an open profession of the Lord Jesus. You cannot hide for long as a Christian. You cannot stay in the dark and the sidelines as Simon of Cyrene was. Once you become a Christian, you must have that open profession for the Lord Jesus. Some people want to go to heaven by some kind of underground tunnel. Can't do it. Now, there are secret disciples in the world, but they must eventually declare that they are saved by grace. Here's what the Lord Jesus said on this matter. Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father in heaven. There is your cross bearing. There is the way by which you identify with Jesus, the suffering Savior. And when you confess the Lord Jesus before men, the Father confesses you before heaven. Is it really going to take the rough hand of a Roman soldier to compel you to confess Christ? No. You cannot free yourself from the open public witness of the Lord Jesus. You need to tell your family. You need to tell your friends. And you need to tell the world that you are now a Christian, a cross bearer, an unashamed witness and disciple of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps for someone, this might be your first communion today. And this is the day that you will, for the first time in the company of others, take the cup and take the bread and say, I am a cross bearer. I am a believer in the Lord Jesus. I was challenged this week by hearing of how in past days communion had been served in churches, where the congregation would have to leave their seat, file around and come right up to the table, pick up the cup and the bread, return to their seat. But by that means, they would personally, publicly declare that they were a communicant, worshiper, Christian, believer in the Lord Jesus. Now, you have opportunity today to take the cup and bread and declare that you are a worshiper, a believer in the Lord. I trust you will. Another way that you can bear your cross for Christ is by commencing Christian work. You can do something for the Lord Jesus. And here is your way of bearing publicly the cross of the Lord Jesus. Get involved in some Christian ministry, whether it be big or small, but let it be in Jesus' name. And by that means, you will serve the Lord. Now, for me as a young Christian, taking up my cross in Christian service, the first public way by which I really became a cross bearer that I remember was at open air meetings. And in our country town, on Saturdays, our church organized open air meetings. And they weren't quiet little gatherings in the corner of the street. They had loudspeakers, a microphone. They had magnification. And the booming voice of the speaker would go right down the street and up the street. No way of hiding there. And when the microphone gets handed to you, well, that's the day you become a cross bearer. And it becomes known in your hometown, Ian is a Christian. He is standing with those that are preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But there's another way that you can be a cross bearer, and that is by submitting to the hard providence of life that God has laid on you. And it's different for every one of us. There are those things that God has ordained for our lives that we would never choose. We would never have asked for them. We would never have wanted them. But for some reason, it has become our lot in life. It might be poverty, financial hardship. It might be sickness, pain in the body. It might be loss of friends. It might be bereavement. And we are called to carry a cross we would never choose. But the hand of God has dealt to us these things. And they've got our name on them. And just as Simon was compelled and the cross was laid on him. There are things that we are to bear as Christians, not grudgingly, not murmuring, not out of bitterness, but out of grace. And we take them, accept them, and we go through with God to serve him. If your lot is hard, and it brings you to tears and anguish and regret, then look to Christ and how he bore the cross for us. And he did choose it. Simon didn't choose it, but Jesus did. Our Lord was born in the very manger that he might die on the cross. And he willfully, willingly, voluntarily went all the way to Calvary to bear our sin. I trust in doing that, that you will find comfort and strength in the cross that you have to carry, in the burdens of life that you have to bear. Because Christians have many burdens. Christians have many tears and sorrows and regrets and problems. And we wonder why. Just as Simon must have wondered, why me? But God had a plan in it. And you must accept God's plan and God's cross. You do so by love because you know that God is laying that cross on you out of love. It's a cross of love, not a cross of bitterness to destroy. And of course, it's also a cross that compels you because it's the life well lived. I think again of Simon of Cyrene becoming a believer and his sons and his wife. And I think of the Christian testimony and the honor of bearing the cross for Jesus. Nothing else will give you that honor. All the silver and gold of the world, all the riches and the fame of the world won't give you that honor. It's a life well lived to bear your cross for Jesus. I close, I just want to leave you with a Bible verse. Romans 8:17-18. If the Lord has spoken to your heart today about living for Jesus, submitting to the cross, bearing the burden gladly, take these words to heart today. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Think of Simon today in glory. Think of that little hour of bearing the cross for Jesus and the glory that has followed. And the little life that we have to suffer for Christ. But one day the glory shall be ours. And without that cross, no crown. Without the curse, no glory. You must be a cross bearer, or you'll never, ever be in heaven with Jesus, which is far better. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us here on Let the Bible Speak, the broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Some years ago, a little group of freethinkers in Scotland decided on a plan whereby they might show up the inaccuracies of Scripture and so cause the people to realize, as they put it, that the Bible was not really the Word of God. One member was given the task of going to Asia Minor and Southern Europe and the islands of the Mediterranean, and visiting all the places mentioned by Luke in connection with Paul's journeys. It was hoped that he would be able to unearth so much information as would make evident the falsity of Luke's record, that many who had pinned their faith to the book of Acts as a part of God's inspired word would have to give it up. The young man chosen was Sir William Ramsay. He investigated very carefully, and after the most minute examinations, concluded that Luke was absolutely accurate in every particular, and he himself, once a freethinker, became a Christian, and has written some splendid books in defense of the Word of God. Indeed, he's well known for the book, The Travels of Paul the Apostle. And so, starting out as a skeptic, convinced by the facts, converted to Christianity, he became an author of those who look into the history of the apostle. What a marvelous thing that our gospel is based upon facts, upon evidence, upon archaeology, upon geography, upon historical accounts of men, women, people, places. All these things are totally accurate to the Bible. And the Bible, therefore, is corroborated and can be attested. And praise God, our faith is not a blind faith, but it is faith in a book that is filled with facts, truths that are incontestable, and turns skeptics to become believers in the facts, and by God's grace, believers in the Lord Jesus. And so I would challenge you today that if you're a skeptic, that if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you are discounting the truths of the Bible, that this book is incontestable. It is God's word that is accurate down to the letter. And I trust that you will therefore give your heart to the Lord, the promises of the Bible, the commands of the Bible, and indeed the warnings of the Bible are every one of them sure and certain. And you're warned to flee from the wrath to come, to trust in Jesus Christ, the only Savior of men, and by believing, be saved. May the Lord in mercy call you, save you, bring you to the cross today. Stay tuned now for these final announcements. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey. We want to give you and your family a warm invitation this Easter to our services in Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. We will be meeting on Good Friday, the 29th of March at 4 p.m. as we reflect upon the crucifixion of our Saviour and of food and fellowship afterwards. We also invite you on Sunday, the 31st of March at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. as we remember the resurrection of our Saviour. There will be another time of food and fellowship after our evening meeting. We hope that you can come along, and we look forward to meeting you. For more information, please visit our website, cloverdalefpc.ca. And there you will find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and links to watch our services online. We warmly invite you to attend our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. You can contact us on our office number, which is 604-576-1091. Alternatively, you can email me, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, visit our website, cloverdalefpc.ca. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.